Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Dockhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing really good tonight, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Recording this on a Friday. I was out this past week at a conference, so we had a little bit of a delay, but we'll get this out to you today and so you can get your picks in for this weekend. Go over some of the stuff as we always do. Make sure everybody's aware. All of our links are up at the top at our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. There you can get to our social media updates. Follow us on Twitter, offthechartshr. Steve has definitely been putting some extra information out there, so I highly recommend that you follow us on Twitter so you can see all that stuff, as well as adding us to your favorite podcatcher. And you'll definitely be able to find us, but hit the website and you'll find all that information. And I guess what we'll do is we're going to review last week and go through some of the items that you went through and have another horse nugget segment, winning angles. We'll talk about that, and then we'll go on to your picks of the week. So let's give a little bit of review on what happened last week.
Yeah, so let me just touch real quick, Dave, on the on the social media aspect. Yeah, I have been – I have tweeted out some selections as I'm watching the races, especially on Saturday, sometimes even on Sundays. Okay. But the other thing is that I have been retweeting things that I find interesting about the Breeders' Cup. Trainer stats and trends. I tweeted out some jockey stuff over the last couple days. I also have noted some of the workouts and retweeted some of the workouts of some of the horses. So as everyone starts to get ready for Breeders' Cup, I'm following a lot of interesting people in the industry, and I try to retweet out things that I think the rest of the listeners might be interested in knowing. So. So with that, Dave, yeah, what we'll do real quickly here is let's just make a real quick review of last week. We handicapped 8 stakes races last week. We had one top pick winner that paid $11.20. We had 2 second pick winners that paid $10.40 and $4.10. Overall, I've handicapped 48 stakes races over the course of these podcasts, and we've had 26 top 2 pick winners. So still pretty good percentage. If you focus in on the top 2 picks that I make in these stakes races, usually you'll find the winner there. As I started to do a little bit of analysis, Dave, I've been keeping track of this stuff on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. To date, the best money maker for the bettors, if they're playing the horses that I'm picking right now, the best money maker is to take our second pick and bet it to win in place. It's a positive ROI, both for the win and also for place. And that totally makes sense because, you know, we've had 11 top pick winners of these 48 races, but in these picks, as you know, Dave, I'm trying to beat favorites many times with my top pick, and all it's going to take is for one of those price plays that I'm making a top pick to hit, and then all of the percentages and all the ROIs will be skewed. So, you know, usually with my second pick in these races, I try to make the more logical pick, though. Because we have a positive ROI, those horses seem to be paying, you know, a pretty decent price. So I just wanted to give out that feedback that, you know, right now, if you were to take all of our second picks and bet them to win in place, you would have been making money both on the win and the place bets.
Great. And I'm also going to add to your discussion about Twitter. There's so much information about Breeders' Cup this coming week. So we're going to be really retweeting a lot of that information. So just definitely follow us and check that stuff out because, boy, I can't believe how much information is going to be. We're going to be on information overload for the next week, I believe, for that. So let's move on and go on to the Horse Nuggets segment. And you wanted to talk about winning angles.
Yeah. So, Dave, so what I thought I would do with this Horse Nugget segment this week is just kind of touch on some angles that I like to look for and some plays that have made me money over the course of the years. You know, some of them are pretty well known. You know, I like the turf to dirt angle. So I like horses that are going turf to dirt. But unlike a lot of handicappers, other handicappers – I don't necessarily like a whole bunch of turf races in a row and then to dirt. I like dirt horses that put a race in, on the turf and then come right back on the dirt. I usually see that as a trainer angle then to getting the horse legged up. Horses get legged up on turf courses and usually will throw a nice performance after they've been legged up on the turf. So yeah, I'm a fan of turf to dirt, but I like turf to dirt when it's just a single turf race and then back to the dirt. I like speed and fade as a winning angle. So I like to play horses who have been showing early speed, maybe over the course of a couple races, usually after two races, and they seem to quit in the stretch. Usually the third or fourth off, a layoff of doing that, showing early speed, eventually that speed carries. So I like to bet speed and fade horses, and I like to bet speed and fade horses, especially when they're dropping in class. So if you got one of those horses that has quit in the stretch, but is getting some class relief today, I like to play those as a winning angle. I like to play the light bulb maiden play. The light bulb maiden play is just any horse that is greater than 0-for-10 in their career. So the magic number is they have to have not won or broken their maiden after 10 races, and then they break their maiden. So they break it on their 11th start, 12th, 13th, sometimes even after 20 starts, all of a sudden they break their maiden. I like to play those horses and bet those horses right after they've broken their maiden, and they call it the light bulb angle because many times the light goes on with some of these horses and they all of a sudden get good after they've been a maiden for so long. They kind of like the feeling and the attention that goes along with being in the winner's circle and being a winner. They can see that they're being treated differently. And a lot of times you can catch those horses at a nice price, especially because, you know, they usually have to move up in class after they've moved out of maidens. So I like to play those maidens who've been maidens for a long period of time and then all of a sudden produce a win. Mentioned it many times on these podcasts. I like horses that are second or third off a layoff, especially in conjunction with trainers who are good with horses that are either second or third off the layoff. I also like horses that are second or third off the claim. A lot of horse players like to play horses first off the claim, especially for trainers that do well with horses first off the claim. And when those horses don't score, the handicapper gets off them or the horse player gets off those horses. I like to take another look at those things. Sometimes it takes maybe a race for even some of those high percentage claiming trainers to figure out a horse, and they need to see the horse on the track. So I kind of stick with those horses and continue to look for them even second or third off the claim. And another winning angle that I like, Dave, is I like route speed. So horses that show speed at a route and then turn back to a sprint. I find those horses get a nice stamina build from that early speed that they're showing in the route. And when they turn back to sprints, don't be surprised that when they don't show early speed at all, but actually those horses have a tendency to close after they've been showing speed at a route. So those are just some angles that I like to use there. I thought I would put them out there so that the handicappers and the horse players that are listening to the podcast can look for some of those things as they look through the past performances.
Yeah, those are some great angles. So we appreciate, as always, this your Nugget segment. And we will move on. And we got a little short card this week. You got three stakes races at Belmont, and then we have one at Keeneland this week. And we'll just go right into it, and we'll start with Belmont, the seventh race. That's a grade three, the running of the Athenia, a mile and a 16th, $200,000 purse. And what are your picks this week?
Yeah, so this is a turf race, Dave, and my selection in this race is going to be the five horse. The five horse is Time in Motion. Excuse me, Time in Motion is 6-1 in the morning line. Jimmy Toner's the trainer. Johnny Velasquez is the jockey. This horse is second off a layoff, so one of our winning angles from the prior segment. If you note, this horse in 2016 went to the track seven times, won five of them, finished second the other time. has had a couple of subpar performances in a row. If you look at that race at Arlington, the Modesty, Florent Giroux was the jockey that day. If you look at the race there at Belmont, that stakes race at Belmont, Jose Lascano was a jockey. But if you take a look and you circle the races part of that with Johnny V, you can see that this horse probably fits Johnny Velasquez a lot better than these other jockeys that have been on him, and Johnny's had a lot of success. And so one of the key angles I'm playing here is back to Johnny Velasquez. Looks like Johnny understands his horse, fits well with his horse. This horse has a couple of subpar 12-second eighths of a mile last year. His second off a layoff, probably needed that last race. He has two bullet workouts on the turf course at Belmont just recently, one on the 15th of October and one on the 22nd. Velasquez and Toner, when they team up, are 23%. So my top selection here in the seventh race at Belmont is the 5, Time in Motion. My second selection in this race, Dave, is the 7 horse. The 7 is Off Limits. Off Limits is 2-1 in the morning line. Get Chad Brown and Joel Rosario is the jockey. This horse did produce a 105 biter speed figure in its last race as the favorite at Belmont at a mile. Has a really nice quarter mile there right before they turn for home in 22.26. Has been on the Belmont track 4 times. Has won twice, ran second one of the other times. You know, my concern about this horse, Dave, is that this is one of those lifetime buyer figures that was produced the last time. And as you know, these horses can bounce off those kinds of super performances. It's the reason that I've put this horse as our second selection. That and the fact the horse is 2-1 with the potential of bouncing. I thought this thing would be over bet. And I like the horse that we put on top. But in this seventh race at Belmont, I have made 7 Off Limits our second selection. Our third and final selection, Dave, in this seventh race is the 10 horse, Penn Jade. Penn Jade's 12-1 in the morning line. We get Chad Brown. We get Irod Ortiz as the jockey. Irod is riding a 19% clip right now at Belmont. When Chad and Irod team up together, they're 27%. At Belmont. This horse is raced 4 times on the Belmont track, has won twice, has run second the other 2 times. One of the notes I did make here, Dave, is look at this horse's last 3 starts. Irod's been on this horse all 3 times and won all 3 times. We get Chad Brown, we get a nice string of workouts coming into this off a short layoff, and at 12-1, you're getting a nice juicy price on a Chad Brown horse on the turf. So my third selection here in the seventh race is the 10 Penn Jade. So to summarize, Dave, our selections in the seventh race at Belmont are the 5, the 7, and the 10.
All right. And we'll move on. This is the 8th race. Of course, the 7th was the start of a pick 3. So you can go your second leg here on the 8th race. It's a mile and the 16th. It's the turn back. It's the 23rd running of the turn back of the Alarm Handicap, which is grade 3, $200,000. And let's let you tell us what your picks are for this race.
Okay, Dave. So this race is a mile and a 16th. And, you know, because Belmont is such a huge track, this is just a one-turn distance race. So it's good to note that. I tried really hard to get away from the favorite here, Dave, but I just can't. So my selection in this race is the 3 horse. The 3 horse is Miss Sky Warrior. Miss Sky Warrior is 8-5 in the morning line. We get Javier Castellano. We get Kelly Breen as the trainer. A couple of real quick notes here. This horse is this 3-year-old filly has been out 7 times in her life, has won 5 of them, has a string of workouts at Belmont. 4 of them are bullet workouts, so the top workout of the day at that distance. If you look at this horse's last race on May 5th was the Kentucky Oaks, raced against Abel Tasman, who's that monster of Baffert's. This horse looked like it might have been compromised by the sloppy track, right? If you look at the races prior to that, you know, all strong performances, and then threw in a clunker on the slop. I almost didn't make this horse our top pick because this horse has been at Belmont one time in her life, ran only a 78 buyer speed figure, ran fourth, but that was in this horse's maiden race. And I balanced that out with the fact that these workouts look great, and it looks like she really likes the Belmont track as she transitioned from 2 to 3 years old. Kelly Breen is a trainer, kind of under the radar guy, but take a look, Dave, take a look down there. Graded stakes races, 26% trainer in graded stakes. So it was hard for me to get away from this horse, Dave. So yep. My top selection in this race, eighth race, is going to be the 3 Miss Sky Warrior. My second selection in this eighth race, Dave, is going to be the 2 Tejana. Tejana is trained by Shug McGahey, is ridden by Jose Ortiz. Almost made this horse our top pick, Dave. And as a matter of fact, it would probably be a wise wager for the bettors to just make a straight 3-2 exacta in this race. I had a hard time even figuring out who the third horse should be in the third selection. This horse was a little bit light on the buyer speed figures, which is why I kind of backed off this horse as being our top selection. But the horse has raced at Belmont 3 times, has won twice, produced an 87 buyer speed figure, went wire to wire the last time at Belmont and an optional claiming race. So this horse is taking a step up in class here. I do like this combination of McGahey and Ortiz. They're 23% when they get together here at Belmont. This horse is lightly raced, is moving from her 3-year-old year to her 4-year-old year. So is a year of maturity on our top selection, and should improve off that race, last race off the layoff. So I have made the 2 Tejana our second selection. And as I said, Dave, I had a hard time coming up with our third selection. So the horse that I've selected is Bird at the Wire, the 5 horse, who is 8-1 in the morning line. Tom Proctor, who I like as a trainer, and Manny Franco is the jockey. This horse moved from Dale Roman's barn. If you see that note down there, previously trained by Romans. So went from Romans to Proctor, which I think is an upgrade from a training perspective. This horse does have some back class, so I've noticed that this horse has run in a couple of grade ones and a number of grade twos. I do like the fact that this horse had in the 7 furlong race the last time produced a 7, a below 12 last eighth of a mile, so 11.96. The downside is this horse is 0 for the last 2 years, right? 0 for 13, 0 for 4 this year so far, and 0 for 9 last year. But I do think that if there's a pace meltdown and this could be one of the horses coming on in the stretch, and at 8-1, I thought this was the logical horse to put in as our third selection, Dave. But I'm really strong on the fact that this 3-2 exacta is probably what the player should play. So in this eighth race at Belmont, Dave, my selections are the 3, the 2, and the 5.
All right, then we'll wrap up Belmont here with the 9th race. This is a shorter distance, 7 furlongs. It's the running of the Bold Ruler Handicap. It's a grade 3, another $200,000 purse. And what are your picks for that race?
Yeah, Dave, so I'm coming back on a horse here that I have liked in the past. My selection here is the 5, Tommy Macho. Tommy Macho is 10-1 in the morning line. Javier Castellano's the jockey. Get Todd Pletcher as the trainer. Has raced it on the Belmont dirt 7 times, has won twice and run third 3 times, but has produced a 101 buyer speed figure. This horse is 3rd off the layoff, so note that. You can see the first race off the layoff was against another Baffert monster, that Dre Fong out at Saratoga, who once again won easily there. But this horse looks like is like he's coming into his own right now. This is one of my winning angles, 3rd off the layoff. I've liked Tommy Macho the last 2 races, and I know that I made Tommy either our 1st or 2nd, 3rd selection in a couple of those races in the past. If you look and note on at the right of the Daily Racing Form, you'll see this horse was 6 wide on the upper stretch the last time out, so not the best of trips. also, I'm sure that you're noting that it's going to Javier Castellano, yeah, at least for the first time in the past performances here. And you know how much I like that angle. So yeah, I think there's a nice price play here, Dave. So I've made the five Tommy Macho our top selection in the ninth race. My second selection in this race is another horse that I like a lot, the seven horse. Stall Walking Dudes 4-1, the morning line. David Jacobson's the trainer. Irad Ortiz is the jockey. Has a great record at Belmont, 13 lifetime starts, 4 wins, 3 seconds, 3/3. This horse produced a subpar 1/8 mile in that last trip at Belmont, 11.70. So you know that I like that. Another thing that I circled here, Dave, is I took a look at those three races that Irad's been on this horse, yeah, at the bottom of the past performances and produced 198, another 100 buyer speed figure. So maybe this jockey change back to Irad will be good for this horse. This horse raced last time, ran third to Tackiful. I'm sure you remember Tackiful. Tackiful was one of the horses that we picked in a prior podcast. Yep. And I'm sure because you look at stuff like this, Dave, you're going to note that this horse has made $1.5 million in his career. He's a 7-year-old who's won 19 times. So I normally don't like to play old horses, as you know, but I can't get away from this horse's past performances right now and the speed figures this horse is still producing at an old age. So I'm going to make the seven horse Stall Walking Dude our second selection here in the ninth race at Belmont. And then our third and final selection, Dave, is a comeback horse for us. So we're going to make the third selection, the 10, Mr. Crow. Mr. Crow's trained by Todd Pletcher, ridden by Luis Saez. We made Mr. Crow our top selection in that Vosburgh Grade One the last time, if you remember. I did note that that track was a good track. Maybe Mr. Crow just didn't like the footing as soft as it was that day. I also have circled the fact that Mr. Crow put in a really nice workout there on October 20th at 4 furlongs, and he was 2 out of 52. So it was the second fastest work at that distance that day. So I know that Mr. Crow's probably feeling good. I'm just gonna put a line through that last race because, as I said, the track was off that day. And if you take a look at the prior two races to that, you got the 104 buyer speed figure and a 109 buyer speed figure. So I wouldn't want to not have Mr. Crow in our top three selections, especially in light of the fact that I made this horse our top pick in that Vosburgh. So my selections here in Belmont's ninth race, Dave, are the 5, the 7, and the 10.
All right. And then we'll move east out to beautiful Keeneland in Kentucky. And you have one race you wanted to handicap for tonight. That'll be the ninth race, which is a 1 1/8 mile. That's the Grade Two Fayette. And purse is $200,000. And what are your picks for that race?
Yeah, so Dave, this is a 1 1/8 mile on the dirt, and you know, at Keeneland, this is a two turn distance race. And my top selection in this race, Dave, is another comebacker horse for us. I'm going to make the 6 horse McCracken our top selection. McCracken's 4-1 in the morning line. Ian Wilkes is the trainer. BJ Hernandez, one of our favorite jockeys, is the jock. And BJ follows us on Twitter, by the way. And maybe it's because I keep saying nice things about him. But a few notes here, Dave. I know that we like this horse a lot in the Travers. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure McCracken wasn't our top pick in the Travers. But we had McCracken in our top three because I think Always Dreaming was our pick in the Travers. Right. Side note, they discovered that Always Dreaming has got ulcers, which is why – you remember how I mentioned how that horse's performance was in and out,
right,
you know, pretty inconsistent? Well, that's what they learned about this horse, is that this horse hasn't been well all year long. And so they're medicating Always Dreaming now. So I thought I would mention that. So anyways, Dave, our top selection in this ninth race at Keelan is the 6 McCracken. I said McCracken's 4-1. This is, you know, McCracken's a 3-year-old colt, so there's obviously lots of room for improvement. We'll be racing against some older horses here today. Has a nice bullet workout there on October 12th, 1 out of 34, so that 5-furlong workout. I'm just going to take a line and put it through that Saratoga Travers, the one that, you know, the race that West Coast won easily. I told you that was a speed favoring track that day. West Coast Smith was smart. He got on the engine that day and just went for the lead. And so I think everyone was compromised that day. I love the move that this McCracken made in that Haskell. I told you that. That's the reason why I included this horse in our top three picks. I think there's a lot of talent here. I think the layoff probably did this horse good. And certainly the workouts show that. And I'm feeling really good about this pick, Dave. So our top selection in this ninth race at Keelan is the 6 McCracken. Okay. Our second selection in the race is another comebacker horse. Boy, I got a few of those today. the 2-horse Neolithic is our second selection. Neolithic is 2-1 in the morning line. Todd Pletcher, Robbie Alvarado's riding for Todd in this race. Neolithic ran up against Gunrunner the last time in the Woodward. Showed early speed. In fact, you know, I've noted here that, you know, this horse has really run some really great races and has been running up against, you know, Gunrunner once and Arrogate twice in four of the last past performances. And the only one where he didn't run up against those either of those two horses, he won.
Yep.
This horse is going to show early speed. I think this horse has a really good chance possibly of wiring the field. But at 2-1, I thought McCracken would be a better play against this horse. But certainly would not surprise me if Neolithic won the race, Dave. So the 2-horse Neolithic is our second selection. And our third and final selection in this race, Dave, is the 5, Honorable Duty. Honorable Duty is 9-5 in the morning line, so probably the will be the post time favorite. Brendan Walsh is the trainer, Corey Lannery's the jockey. This horse won its last race at Churchill Downs pretty easily. Finished that last eighth of a mile in 11.79. Went off at 3-5. Is 1-for-1 at Keeneland, producing an 80 buyer speed figure. Take a look at that lifetime record, Dave. 15. Lifetime starts, 7 wins, 4 seconds and a third, with a top buyer figure of 105. This horse is racing second off a layoff, so, you know, has every right to improve off that 100 buyer the last time. Looked like that was a pretty easy win for this horse as well. But at 9-5, I think this horse will be probably over bet off that last race. And I really like our top selection, Dave. So in this ninth race at Keeneland, my selections are the 6, the 2, and the 5.
All right, great. And we want to wrap this up, but I want to give a special note for next week. Next week, we're actually going to be live from Las Vegas, and the Breeders' Cup is upon us. I can't say how excited I am always every year for the Breeders' Cup. There's just so many great races and there's a lot of challenges out there. And I'm sure you're going to have some challenges handicapping it next week. So I want to make sure everybody is aware. We might even have some special guests. Who knows?
And the other thing, Dave, is that I will be tweeting out, you know, when we're going to release. We're probably going to wind up doing 2 podcasts, yeah. One for the Friday card and one for the Saturday card. And, you know, as you and I talked earlier today, we're just trying to work out the logistics of when we're going to do those things. You and I are both flying in from different places and getting in at different times and trying to figure out when we're going to do those. But we're definitely going to do 2 podcasts for the Breeders' Cup. So one will be available at some point Thursday evening and into Friday. And then the other one will be available Friday evening and into Saturday. So, and you know, we'll try to give as much information out as we can.
Yeah.
But you know, for those folks that don't use Twitter and aren't familiar with Twitter, I did want to make a note to them to continue to check, because we will be putting out 2 podcasts next week for breeders.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'll have my portable studio with me, and
I'm looking forward to it.
This will be our first time doing a face to face. I'm glad.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then you're probably not going to want to do it ever again. But who knows? But,
no, it'll be fun.
It'll be fun, and like I said, but even some possible special guests. You never know.
Yes, yes.
We'll see though. So you got some handicapping to do, and a lot of the advanced information's out there now, right? So
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, and I'm starting to look through some of it now.
All right, great. So I can't wait. I'm excited, and we'll be flying in late Thursday, but we're dedicated to this for you guys, so we're gonna make sure we get you an episode for the Friday cards, and this will be a double duty for this next week. So
yeah, well,
all right. So like I said at the beginning, let's make sure to visit our website, and that's at Off the Charts. horseracing.com, and the links are at the top of that page, so you can visit us through any of the means of getting this podcast and listening to it, as well as our Twitter feed. And again, like Steve said, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Off the Charts HR. All the podcast updates, race changes, and other picks will be on there. And even if you don't have a Twitter account, you can just go to twitter.com/offthechartshr, and you can just look at it. So I mean, you don't have to be a member, but we highly recommend that you follow us. Make sure you subscribe through your favorite podcaster, and check that out as well. As we're on the Google Play Music Store, you can, if you're those Android users, will be able to get out there and be able to listen to our stuff. And if you do want to send email, we do have an email address, questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. We'd love to get any of your feedback about this show or any of the shows, and we'd love to hear from you. With that, any other closing remarks, Steve, before we wrap this up?
No, I'm good, Dave. Just good luck to everyone tomorrow. Yes.
All right. And definitely, I hope you get some good wins. For that, thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.